Let's start in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And it says, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Verse 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. And let's go back to verse 5, because it's going to build for the next several verses a theme of why we really don't need to covet anyone else's portion or what someone else has that we don't have. No one in whatever state they're in ever needs to do that has the Lord. In verse 5 again, it says, so let your lifestyle, or the way you carry yourself, your conversation, be without covetousness. Be content with the things you have, because I've said, I'll never forsake you. I will never leave you. And so in that verse, I think it's just the basis which the rest of the scriptures are building the point, if you will. Each one of us, everyone who has received Christ and been joined with him through his death and resurrection, everyone who's one with Jesus on the basis of his cross, we have Jesus. He is our portion. We have the Lord, and it says it here. He says, I have said to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. No matter what situation or condition we are in, it says it here so clearly. For he hath said, it's funny because it's declaring here that it's not someone else who said it on his behalf, or a preacher who preached it, or a letter who wrote it. He said himself, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And so there's this incredible, intimate word from the heart of the Lord that says, you know, no matter what you have or don't have, and we can start with the things of the natural, like a house or a car or a job or a mate or children or, you know, all of the things that the outward apparel and the outward appearance and the outward realm of objects and reputation and appearance bring, you know, what you have, and that's a very shallow, but it's a beginning step, you know, whatever you have or don't have. You have me, and you're never going to lose me, because I promised you wouldn't. And it's huge. And you know, the verse right before it, you know, the verses right before it is verse 3 says, you know, there's some people that are bound, and they're suffering in their bodies. Remember them. Look at the condition that they're in, but they have me. And the next one's about marriage is honorable. But there's a lot of people who aren't married. You know, the person who is suffering in adversity could be just coveting the person who's free. Like, oh, to be outside of this bondage and this adversity that I'm suffering, even in pain in my body, I'm suffering this. It's awful. I'm bound. I covet the man or the woman who can get up in the morning without pain, who can not have to be under the evil taskmaster, doesn't bear these chains and afflictions, and is just free, you know, just, I want to be free, and I covet freedom, and I envy those who have freedom, and I want what they have. And you know, the Lord's saying, you have me, you don't have to covet anything in whatever state. And the next verse about marriage, you know, oh, I wish I was married. I wish I had someone. I wish it was someone just the way I want that someone to be, perfect in my mind and perfect for me. Then my life would be happy. I wouldn't even need Jesus anymore. That's a joke, by the way. But, you know, this imagination and fantasy that if I had a, if I had a mate, then I would be fulfilled. Then, when I find Mr. or Mrs. Right, you know, then I'm going to have what I need in this life. And, you know, the Lord's saying, you have me. You don't have to covet. You don't have to covet what someone else has or someone else's situation. You have me. You have me. I am your portion. And, you know, you have oneness with the Lamb. You don't need to covet earth unions. Earth unions. Things that make us fulfilled because we're united. Could be people, could be something else. But earth unions. And the Lord says, you are one spirit with the Lord. You are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Man, I mean, it's so incredible on a heart level. You are one with my Son. You're one with the Lamb. You're the body of the Lamb of God. You're the body of the crucified. You don't have to covet in your heart earth unions. You have my Son. You're one. You're married. You're joined with the Lamb. What more can you say? My God. And the next verse, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What will I fear? What man should do to me now? If you are married to the Lamb, you know, you're going to be set for the slaughter. Things will come that will bring forth sacrifice. His self-giving will be made manifest through his body. And therefore, what will man do unto us? Probably a lot, in the sense of injustice and shame and humiliation. And there will be times of death where, as the body of the Lamb, as that which is united to him in oneness, we'll be led as sheep to the slaughter. But wait a second. The Lord is my helper. I can boldly say, I do not have to fear what man shall do to me. The Lord is my helper on the basis of oneness. He will not leave me or forsake me in this hot fire. I am joined. I do not have to covet how people think of me and what man will or will not do unto me, because I have him. I am not afraid. I am bold because I'm one. I don't have to covet. Things don't have to change. I have the Lord. I have the Lord. And the next one is and this is just how the Lord shared it with me when I was walking the dog that day. I know that sounds silly, but you know, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Kind of just injected into that conversation is, and guess what? You know, he is the same. He is never gonna change. He is the same, the one you're joined to, the one who your portion is. He's stable. He's settled. He is who he is. And it's like the Shulamite said in the Song of Songs, I am my beloved's and he is mine. There are certain things that are foundationally settled in the heart of God, in his being and finalized through his cross. And there are things that we can rest on, we can stand upon, we can call fact in the middle of storm. And that's the heart of the Lord and who he's made us in himself. The same in richness, the same in poverty, the same in sickness, the same in health, the same in abasing, the same in abounding. Jesus, 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 the Lamb and his gorgeous, beautiful, eternal nature. Hallelujah, he is mine, and I am his, and we are one. Stability. I don't need to covet, and I don't need to worry that he's going to change on me. I don't need to worry. Remember, just a couple chapters back was Hebrews 11. You know, the great hall of faith and the things they went through. The next chapter after chapter 12 is the things we're going to go through to bring forth the Son. And by chapter 13, he's saying, listen, praise God. We're his. We're his in all these trials and all these afflictions and fiery trials they are. We don't have to covet and we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. He's not going to change. We have the Lord and He has us. Glory to God. This oneness is solid. Tested and true. Tried 7 times in the furnace. You know, that's Jesus. He's got us when we don't got Him. It's a gorgeous heart that holds us in oneness through it all. And the next is food. You know, the first thing on the list is security. I need to know I'm loved. I need to know that I'm joined. And I need to know that I'm one. You know, I need that more than I need the bread I eat, more than the bed I sleep on, more than the job I work at. The first in order of importance is this deep need to be one. And that's the first deep thing addressed right there. But the next is you need food. You know, you have to eat. You have to eat. And we're still on the theme of coveting. Needing something else. Needing more. And so let's look at verse 9. It says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have no profit, have not profited them that have been occupied therein." So there's some people who they're not fulfilled. There's this gnawing, deep gnawing hunger for more, you know, and you want to fill it with food, with meat, with something of substance that will fill that void, that answer that gnawing hunger. You know, meats being occupied with meats, which do not profit them. It says it right there. But we have something that will fill us. It's our food. It's our portion. It's that which we eat and are satisfied deep inside. Satisfied deep inside. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And I felt the Spirit hearken to 1 Peter, you know, chapter 3, verse 7, that we are heirs together with the Lamb of the grace of His life. And it's speaking to married couples, but I believe in true eternal terms, it's speaking to us as the wife of the Lamb, that we have partaken together of the grace of life. We've partaken of this grace that we're one with God, and that grace that is the Father giving us His Son in a way that fills us is better than meat. We have His flesh, His blood, we can partake of Him through oneness, and it fills us. We are partaking of this fullness, grace for grace, it says in John. Of His fullness have you received, and that grace for grace. You know, of His fullness you have received, and that grace for grace. Partakers of the grace of life. We don't have to be occupied with meat, but we have been established with grace because we have the Son in a way that fills us. We want food. We got food. And now we're looking for clothes, you know. We got our oneness, we got our food, but we need some clothes here. So we might covet, what, oh my gosh, look at that gorgeous dress, look at those beautiful clothes, and all this coveting, you know. I want to look like that, I want to have that apparel, I want to present myself with that clothing, all that covetous stuff, you know. And so here we have it in verse 13. It's verse 13. "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Let's start in verse 11 though. "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp and bear his reproach." We have this body of the Lamb that we are partaking of and bearing in the sense of we are becoming clothed with Christ crucified. We've gone to his poured out body and we've joined with that, and we've come out there specifically to bear his it says reproach, but you know what I mean? We're bearing what the body of the Lord Jesus Christ would be clothed with, a certain spirit. He's outside the camp. His body that's drained of its blood because it's been flayed and offered and drained and given for others. His body's laying out there, and it's like those burnt stones in the Jerusalem that was desolate. They're drenched in a certain spirit that though they look naked and empty, they and burnt and useless, they are clothed with a nature. They're so essence rich. They're so filled with eternal spirit, man, that they're clothed. That's not a naked corpse. In the eyes of the spirit, that thing has the most beautiful garments of glory upon it, glory and grace. The very priest of God lay there, the son who is consecrated forevermore. And in the order of the Melchizedekian priesthood, is given his own blood and his own body for the sacrifice for the people. He's laid there broken and emptied as a corpse because he's priested everyone else through his own death. He's clothed in a spirit that is above all spirits, at all clothing, most beautiful to the eyes of God. And we go out there to that body as his body and say, I want to be clothed in what you're clothed in. I'm your wife and I'm your body. I bear your reproach because I'm putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm clothing myself in him. And I have a certain spirit on me. No matter what I'm wearing and what color or brand of clothing I have Jesus the crucified. And I'm putting him on, and I'm going right where I can get it, his brand, outside the camp. And I'm not putting on blessing, but bearing reproach and glory to God. This is being clothed in Christ. It's beautiful. Hallelujah. You got to be in love to want to wear that garment, but boy, oh boy, there's no more beautiful thing for the wife of the Lamb to be clothed in. I mean, you think, and I'm diverting, but I'll divert very briefly. But you know, the ones who passed through the tribulation in the book of Revelation, and they passed through by actually dying. They didn't get delivered. They died, yes. But they passed through that fire. But they are clothed in actually it says they're white robes, but if you look deeper in the scriptures, they're robes that have been washed in blood. I mean, they're clothed in blood-drenched robes. But they're not just blood-drenched robes. They're the blood of the Lamb, the life of the poured out one, the sacred Lamb life. They're drenched in that spirit. That's why they're white. They're pure because of the blood that's all over them, that's soaked into every fiber. The spirit of the crucified's nature has clothed them. These are the ones that are progressing from church to bride. They're clothed in his nature. They're clothed by his blood, the things that come out of the sacrifice. That's the same picture we're getting here in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. She's clothed with Christ. Next is, you need a place to live, you know? Where are you going to dwell? Well, verse 14 addresses that, for we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And so here we go, you know, man, we're not going to dwell in the earth. We are not earth dwellers. We dwell in eternal oneness with the Lamb above the earth. We have habitation in God. He is our home. He is our promised land. He is our resting place. It's not in the earth or on the earth. It's in Christ. We are raised up and seated together far above this earth, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now she's got a home. She's got a oneness. She's loved and one. You know, she's got food, true meat, the Lamb, flesh and blood. She's got clothing. She's clothed with the Spirit. She's got a place to live. It's in him, a city that is eternal, this new Jerusalem wife. Glory to God. And then she's got a job, a purpose, and that's verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to our God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And therefore, you know, just she's to offer him up by him, sacrifice continually. Yes, the fruit of our lips, but also the way that we live. Just she is filled with purpose because she's filled with him from head to toe. She's one. She's partaken of his nature as her food. She's clothed in his spirit. She dwells in his bosom, and now she lives by his life. Okay, and back to chapter 13, verse 5. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When you're married, you're never going to learn the awesomeness of being without someone but having him. There is a huge, incredible, wonderful place to, in that season of your life, or to say, Lord, I don't need anything, I got you. And that doesn't mean that when you're married, you don't go through different things where you can treasure him in different ways. There's always opportunities to value the Lord. When you're impoverished and you have nothing, that's your opportunity to say, you are my riches, Jesus, and mean it, and he knows you mean it because you're poor. And it's incredible. It just is amazing love because you're poor, but you're rich. You know, and you know, those things of extremity and loss, they're just hard times where you covet better times until you fall so in love with the Lamb that not by teaching or constraint, but by the very depths of your heart, you say, I love you, are my portion, my food, my companion, my clothes, my money. You, Jesus, you're everything. And you know, there's times when we go through really hard things, maybe not just to get through them, but to, if it's all about the heart of Jesus, to, for him to get something out of that, in the sense of, oh my gosh, someone rose up and said, you are this to me. And they weren't doing it based on blessing, but based on finding me in incredible ways that most people wouldn't, because they just treasure what I give them, or how good things or bad things are going, but it's me she loves, for real. Those are eternal moments. Those are, yeah, you know, that's the kind of stuff you forget everything. You'll remember the day when you had nothing and you said, I love you and I mean it. You're everything to me. And he remembers it too. Out of the thousands and ten thousands of days, that day stands out. Because you looked each other in the eyes and said, you know what? You're really what I love. Not what you give me, not what we're doing, not what we're going. You. And it's real now because of look at. Circumstances are proving it. It's precious. I mean, these are the things that make a relationship with Jesus valuable. You know, and most people just want deliverance or covet a better situation. You know, and that means, well, okay. I can change your circumstances or we can get through this, but where was that opportunity to just, oh, Lord, you are what I love. You know, that's between you and God. That's just you and God. No one's supposed to know about those times. But they're whispered to the heart that can hear in Hebrews 13. She hears that. Oh, yeah, I hear you. That's right. You know it. You can hear David whispering it in Psalm 16 and 17. You know, the Lord is my portion. My lines have fallen in goodly places. And you know, he's saying that while he's in death. He's like, my lines have fallen in goodly places because I'm laying here with the Lamb I love. Amen. It's just, it's crazy. It's wonderful. It's only the foolish in love with the Lamb are going to even get it, because otherwise you're insane for thinking it. But we love him, we do, and you know, the Spirit says there's a new approach to the hard times, and it's called Wife of the Lamb approach. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us your Son in incredible measure, in ways beyond, oh Lord, so real, like the bread we eat, the food we eat, the bed we sleep on, the breath we breathe, the oneness we have, the life we live. He's all those things. You've made him unto us the sum of everything, Jesus. You filleth all things. You filleth them full. And you fill us with yourself. And you provide us as a good husband would, as a good father would. You've given us yourself in every way you possibly could through the cross. Father, you gave us your Son in every way possible. You made him everything for us. Every need is met. Every need is met on the most practical levels through oneness with Jesus. So how can we say thank you? We don't have the words, but with our lips we offer up a sacrifice of praise and say, let the Spirit of your Son now live through us. Let us go through these things knowing that he is with us, that he has not forsaken us. Let us allow the clothing that you've given us to be upon us in our ways and in our walk. Father, let the wonder and the awesome beauty of this Son you've given us so fully affect us every day, in every way. With all our hearts, let us know we have no need to covet anything, for we have Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.